Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Would you please find in your Bible Acts chapter 4, we'll begin in verse 36 and fuse that with passage in Acts chapter 11 as we focus on a hero, and that hero is named Barnabas. It may help to find this little piece of paper and take a few notes as you are hearing the voice of God speak to your heart. I've observed on the pathway of life, there are generally two types of people. There are stumbling block people. And when you encounter that stumbling block, they generally trip you up. But then there are other types of people. There are stepping stone people, and they help you step up into the presence of the Lord. There's an old poem that captures this concept, and it goes like this. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that play in sawdust rings, common people like you and me, are builders for eternity? Each is given a book of rules, a shapeless mass, and a bag of tools. And each must build before time has flown a stumbling block or a stepping stone. So let me ask you this, which do you tend to be? On the pathway of life, when people encounter you, are you that stepping stone person who enables people to step up to Jesus? Or in contrast, are you a stumbling block? Your negativity, your hypocrisy, your lack of integrity, your competitiveness, it essentially blocks people from getting to Jesus. So I want you to think about it because, frankly, this is my goal. This is my life message I'm about to share with you today. I want to be like Barnabas and serve as God's encourager, his stepping stone. Well, here's what I want you to do for just a moment. Please think with me about this fact. We are surrounded by discouragement. We are surrounded by discouragement. That's why this message is so important. We live in a fallen world where there's so much pain. There's so many problems. It just seems like everywhere you look, there's somebody who is dealing with a health crisis, or there's a problem in their relational world, or maybe it's financial. Just could be overwhelmed by life in general. I have a wonderful brother-in-law. His name is Mark Yane, and he grew up in Wisconsin. He was an all-state football player, baseball player, and basketball player. He played professional football for a while, and all that sports messed up his hip, and he ended up having to have his hip replaced about a year ago. So he's a good, big Wisconsin cheesehead. That's how he describes himself. The ultimate Green Bay fan. That's all he wears is Green Bay t-shirts. And so he had that hip replaced and he was recovering. He's 6'4", 265 pounds when he's feeling light. And so here he is recovering from this hip surgery, doing great. And a few days ago, he had a night terror, some sort of crazy dream. He fell out of his bed on that new hip. And the hip, the prosthetic in there, when it hit just right on it, it cracked the femur 12 inches straight down like you would crack a piece of wood. Oh, you think that hurt? He said, never any pain like that. I mean, from a deep sleep to just shocking pain, couldn't move. And Mary Ruth, she has a beautiful little sister named Susie, and she's about a third of his size, and she couldn't move him. Here comes the ambulance. Here comes 911. And he goes into this odyssey of having to have this all redone and back into a rehab. Do you think he was discouraged? Oh, my goodness. Talked to him several times, and just about as low as you can get, because he's thinking, I'm a 60-year-old guy. I mean, am I ever going to walk right again? So I can tell you we're surrounded by people who live in a sea of hurt. There is so much brokenness and pain, and not only what's inflicted on us by life, but what we inflict on ourselves. So what do you do when you see hurt, beaten up people? Do you come and mash him down further? Or do you try to act as God's agent of love, encouragement like Barnabas, and be a lifter? Well, this is our premise today, so let's look at Barnabas. Oh, I love the story of Barnabas. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, here's my goal. This is my plate. This is kind of my heart. When I think about being your pastor, my model is Barnabas. He was the pastor of the church at Antioch, and I want to be like him. I want to be part of a sending church that's edifying everybody that's encountered here. So come with me to Acts chapter 4, and let's pick up the story. The church has just been born in Acts chapter 2. Jesus went up. The Spirit of Christ came down, and the people went out. And the church is starting to grow by leaps and bounds. By the thousands, people are coming. And the Bible says in chapter 4, and Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, owned a tract of land. He sold it, he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now go over just a few chapters to chapter 11, and let's pick up the rest of the story. Let's fuse these two scriptures together. Verse 23. And when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. He left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers of people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Well, let's pray this in. Father, I thank you so much that in this fallen world of discouragement, hurt, pain, and failure, you've come. And you have commissioned us to be your agents of uplifting encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way, and that your Spirit would be released in this place, and that you would deposit your transforming truth into every receptive heart. And I pray for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Well, let's look at four characteristics that create the composite of a stepping stone person, and we see these all coming together in the life of Barnabas. He is a man who followed Christ in such a way that he's worthy of emulation. So let's come to point number one, an encourager gives. An encourager gives. After the formation of the early church at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the church needed some financial fuel so that it could be strong. And here is what we see in generous Barnabas. He understands the need. He goes out and sells a field, and then he brings the revenue from that field and he lays it at the apostles' feet, and he understands that he is fueling the progress of that early church. Now, I would suggest to you that times have not really changed. The church still needs your help to progress. And I would suggest to you that the church is still built on three books. God's book, that's his living word. The hymn book, that's praise. And your checkbook, that's the financial fuel that God uses to get his work done in our neighborhoods and to the nations. So always use those three books to build the body of Christ. Now, I've determined that you can learn a lot about a person by how they relate to their possessions. For instance, before eHarmony, there was a young farmer, and he was of the age where he wanted to get married. So he took out an ad in the Farmer's Gazette. And under that ad, it simply said, marry an age young farmer who needs a wife with a tractor. Please send picture of tractor. Now, you can learn a lot about a person by how they relate to their possessions. Now, here's Barnabas. He is a generous man. He understands this great truth that everything in this world will pass, but only what is done for Christ will really last. He was echoing what Jim Elliot, the great missionary who was martyred in South America, understood. He said, "A man is no fool who will trade that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." You see, that's the bigger picture perspective. Barnabas understood it, and that made him a giving person. Over the years, I've seen many people sell their soul for stuff. But Barnabas sold his stuff for souls. I like that. That's the kind of person I want to be. I want to trade that which I possess temporarily to make an eternal difference. Barnabas had aligned himself with the perspective and priorities of Jesus. Jesus said it so simply in Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Let that be your primary priority." And how do you do that? By laying up treasures in heaven as you give to kingdom causes that advance the word and mission of Jesus. And that's one of the things I love about our church. That's why I believe this commitment card is so important. As you give to the Lord's work, as you make a defined commitment that says, "Oh God, you can count me in. I trust you. I will give your resources back for your purpose," I can think of no greater investment. So number one, an encourager gives. Number two, an encourager edifies. An encourager edifies. Etched into Barnabas's name is a picture of his central characteristic. His parents, we learn in chapter 4, named him Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth. But evidently, in the same way that Jesus renamed Simon, silly Simon became Petros, the rock, the disciples saw this man Joseph and they said, "We're going to give you a new name. We're going to name you for your primary characteristic. You so reflect the spirit of Jesus that we're going to call you Barnabas." The word bar in Hebrew means son. Barnabas means son of encouragement. Now, over the years, you've probably met people who have a characteristic that reflect in their name. For instance, have you ever met a redhead? When I was growing up, we had this redheaded kid and we called him Rusty. That wasn't his name. His name was Jim. But we called him Rusty because of that red hair. Have you ever met somebody that's left-handed and they're called Lefty? Probably my favorite one is a guy here in our church named Marlon Dice. Do you know what his nickname is? Scooter. Many of you know Scooter. Matter of fact, there he is. Scooter Dice. That's the current Scooter Dice at his 80th birthday party. And that is Scooter 60 years ago. And they called him Scooter Dice. He was the speedster from Elba, Alabama. And he was so fast that he made the University of Alabama football team, though he wasn't very big. And Bear Bryant watched him catch the ball, and he said, "That boy can scoot." And from then on, they named him Scooter. As a matter of fact, did you know, not to make any predictions or anything, but did you know that Scooter, in a legendary Alabama-Auburn game, scored the only touchdown as he scooted into the end zone? I won't tell you the final score, but anyway, he will. I can guarantee you. Scooter! All right, now, let me ask you this. If Jesus renamed you in alignment with your chief personality characteristic, what would he call you? Would he call you sour or sweet? Would he call you rainstorm or sunshine? You see, evidently, this gentleman Joseph's life was so sweet, so encouraging, so uplifting that he earned a new title, the son of encouragement, Barnabas. Barnabas. You see, I believe somewhere along the line he had encountered Jesus and Jesus touched him and he went from negative to positive. He went from sour to sweet. He went from darkness to light. You see, Jesus is in the transforming business and he became this encourager. And that's an invaluable commodity in this fallen world that has so many hurt people who have become negative and cynical and sour. I would urge you to understand that one of the greatest things you can possibly do is function like Barnabas as God's encourager. Let me unveil the biblical meaning of that name. You see, we learn in John chapter 14 that Jesus said when he leaves, he will deposit in us an encourager. And that encourager is the Holy Spirit. And do you know another name for the Holy Spirit is the paraclete? The word paraclete is the word encourager. And that's what God calls us to be, an encourager on his behalf. The word para, you hear the word parallel. It means to come alongside. And kaleo is someone who's been knocked down. So to be an encourager means you come alongside someone who has been knocked down and you call them up in Jesus' name. What a beautiful picture of what the Holy Spirit does for all people who are knocked down by sin and the mistakes of life. He pulls us up. And that's what Barnabas did. He was an encourager, and he pulled people up. Frankly, friends, that's exactly what Jesus did. Everywhere you see Jesus, you find him taking fallen people and pulling them back up. He didn't come to rub in your sin. He came to rub it out. That's what this cross is about. It's a lever to lift people up toward the Lord. That's what God is calling you and me to be, like a Barnabas, lifters. Because I've come to believe that encouragement is the miracle grow of the soul. That's what really makes disciples, when we lift people up. I experienced that when I was growing up. I was so blessed to grow up in a home with my father, who was an ultimate encourager. Now, my dad was J. Leon Wolf Sr., and I'm J. Leon Wolf Jr. And I'm telling you, I was so blessed because my dad ladled lavish love and encouragement on me. He used to say this to me as I got older. He would say, "Jay boy, they don't make things you can't do." Oh, I like that. They don't make things you can't do, son. In other words, the possibilities are unlimited for you. I believe in you. And you transfer what I'm saying to your own spirit, academically, athletically, socially. He believed in me. Now, did you have a father like that? If you didn't, you got a heavenly father like that, friend. You got a heavenly father who believes in you and is calling you to be your best, your highest, and your most. You got a heavenly father who whispers in your ear, "They don't make things you can't do with my power and strength." And that's what God wants you to hear today. He wants you to receive that miracle grow of encouragement. He wants you to be that kind of person. Let me give you an example from history. One of the great American presidents was Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's iron will held the Union together in hard times. In 1865, of course, he was assassinated. And they took the contents of Lincoln's pockets on the night he died. They placed them in a display case, and you can go to the second floor of the Library of Congress and see them today. It's really fascinating what he had in his pockets. Are you aware of the contents? Did you know that he had not one but two pair of eyeglasses? And he had a wallet, and in that wallet, he not only had Union money, but oddly enough, he had some Confederate money. And then tucked away in the back recess of his wallet, he had four positive editorials on his presidency. They were tucked away in the back corner of his wallet as if they were vitamin E, the vitamin of encouragement, because even Lincoln needed somebody to affirm that what he was doing was right and good for the country. So if Abraham Lincoln needed the vitamin of encouragement, the miracle grow for his soul, don't you need it? Don't the people who live around you need that? So is it not incumbent upon you to become that encourager? Oh, it's true not only for a politician, it's true for an athlete. One of my favorite stories is about Lou Holtz, a real motivator of people. There's a famous story that Arkansas was going to play Oklahoma in the Orange Bowl, and the national title was on the line. But one of Lou Holtz's Arkansas Razorback players, his leading rusher, his best running back, violated team rules. And Lou Holtz said, "I don't have a lot of rules, but if you don't keep the ones I've got, you're out." And that young man did not make it to the game. He was taken off the team. So the Razorbacks were rated by all the critics and the pundits as losing that game because this one man was missing. Well, the night before that game, Lou Holtz got the whole team in the locker room, and he simply asked them this one question. He said, "Young men, I know that we're forecasted to lose this game by 3 touchdowns tomorrow. Oklahoma's good. But let me ask you, why do you think we're going to win tomorrow?" There was a silence that fell upon the room, and then one man stood up and he said, "You know, Coach, we lost a good running back, but I believe the man who's going to replace him is just as good, and I think he's going to run all over him." And another young man stood up and said, "Coach, we've got the best defense in the nation, and if they can't score on us, they can't beat us." And one young man after the other got up and began to say why they were going to win, and they beat them 31-6 the next day against all odds. My friends, the power, the fuel of encouragement can make you go beyond your limits. That's the picture that we see in the life of Jesus. What did Jesus do? He would see sinners and dream of saints. He would see a guy like Simon and rename him Peter, the great proclaimer of the gospel. I want to be that kind of person. I want to be a man who is an encourager, an edifier. Well, let me show you a third characteristic of Barnabas. An encourager forgives. An encourager forgives. Would you make that note? Number three. You see, on the first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas included a young man named John Mark. John Mark was included in this high adventure of going to the island of Cyprus and beyond to share Christ's love and light with the nations. They just started preaching the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection on behalf of all humanity. And as they were going along, we learn in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, that it simply says John Mark departed. We don't know why. Maybe he was homesick for mama. Maybe he developed an illness. Maybe Paul was a little too hard-nosed for him. I don't know. But he went home. But when you fast forward to Acts chapter 15, look on your worksheet. We learn in verse 39, Paul and Barnabas were getting ready to go back out on the second missionary journey, and Barnabas proposes that they allow John Mark to have a second chance to come with them. I mean, in Texas, they say if you get thrown off a horse, you better remount. You better get back on. So he was trying to help him and redeem him. But look at this scripture. It says in Acts 15, verse 39, "So they had a sharp disagreement, so much so that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord." So John Mark was given a second chance. And because of that second chance, there's a book written in our Bible called Mark's Gospel. That book, I am certain, would not be here had Barnabas not been a forgiver. You see, our world is driven by revenge and retaliation. Any good Hollywood movie tough guy, when they are hurt, they don't get mad. They just get even, don't they? And more than even. That's the ethic of our day. And yet Jesus calls us to be different. You see, he calls you beyond your natural response of hurting others and plotting revenge and feeding a grudge. He wants you to be like him. I heard about this lady, and her name was Myrtle, and one day she lived out in the country, and this rabid dog came up, just foaming at the mouth with rabies and bit her. Well, she got to the hospital, and they began some treatments, and her local doc came by and said, Oh, Myrtle, I'm just so sorry you were bitten by the dog. And he noticed that she had a yellow legal pad out, and she was just writing one name after the other. And the doctor said, Myrtle, are you thinking you're going to die and you're making out your will? She said, No, doc, I'm listing the names of the people I plan to bite. Now, there are a lot of people who live at that level. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You bite me, I'm going to bite you back. You give me a little poison, I will eat you up. Revenge, retaliation, nursing the grudge, plotting the demise of the offender. That's the world we live in. But in contrast to the world's way, Barnabas demonstrates forgiveness because he had received the forgiveness of Christ. Always remember Ephesians 4, verse 32. We are to be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. How? As Christ has forgiven us. Well, here's the last thing I want to share with you. How do you do this? How do you become a person who is giving, edifying, and forgiving? These are unnatural actions. So we need supernatural help. So here's the key. Number four, an encourager is empowered by the Holy Spirit. An encourager is empowered by the Holy Spirit. This last scripture is so important, I put it in a box. And would you look on that box, and I want you to do something with me. I want you to read that out loud with me. Ready? This is the culmination of the character assessment of Barnabas. Let's read it together. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Now, the key phrase, he was full of what? The Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. That was his power source. Now, let me explain that being full of the Holy Spirit simply means you were controlled by Jesus. And let me give you an ultra simple way to remember that. When Jesus comes into your life, when his Spirit invades your life, he is a resident in you, but he wants to be the president of you. He wants to be more than a resident. He wants to be the president. He wants to sit on the throne of your life. He wants to be in control. He wants to govern how you act. And that's what Barnabas did. He became a Jesus man. And within his daily choices, he became an encourager who was generous, edifying, and forgiving. He became a stepping stone person. Remember, isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that play in sawdust rings, common people like you and me, are builders for eternity? And each is given a book of rules, a shapeless mass, and a bag of tools. And each must build before our time has flown. A stumbling block or a stepping stone. Let's pray.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.